Okay, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome especially to all the newcomers through the WhatsApp chat. Our practice has become in recent weeks that on Monday, the Temen Halacha Shir is always on the topic that I didn't talk about in the From the Rabbi's Desk Shir on Thursday night. So the topic I did not talk about is probably not Nogea personally to anybody here, but I still think it's a pretty interesting topic, and that is that a rabbi asked me the following shaila. There is a young lady in his community who has a nervous habit where she just yanks out the hairs from her eyebrows when she's otherwise bored, and now she's in shidduchim and she's got these bald spots in her eyebrows, so she wanted to know if she can do a procedure called microblading. What is microblading? Microblading is, according to the internet, a cosmetic tattooing procedure that fills in thin eyebrow areas to make them look fuller. Unlike a traditional tattoo, which is permanent, the coloring from microblading may last for up to 3 years. This is because microblading uses different tools and a smaller amount of pigment. So bottom line is, it's a form of tattoo, but it's not quite the same as a regular tattoo, which will last forever. It will last between 1 and 3 years. So this woman wants to know, is she allowed to do it for the purpose of shiduchim? Can she get these microbladed eyebrows, which will look much more natural than if she were to just take one of those markers and just color in her eyebrows? So it's the topic of tattooing is in general a very interesting topic. So let's go through some of the potential tzadim lekula. First we'll go through the tzadim lekula that are not really a good tzad lekula, and then we'll go through some tzadim lekula that may actually be a good tzad lekula. First of all, the lack of permanence, the fact that it's not going to be there forever, that it's only going to be there for 1 to 3 years. There is a machlokas rishonim how long it has to last to be an isidor raisa of ksuvas kaka. Rashi on chumash vayikra perik yutas pasuk chav ches, and Rashi on gittin daf chaf am beis, and the ritva and makos daf chaf aleph say that it has to be permanent. Rashi uses the term li'olam. Rav Nassim Gestetner in his Shuvas Lahoros Nassim Chelik Yud Simon Samach Dalid says that the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Kof Pei in Yaradeya does not qualify that it has to be permanent. And even when Rashi says the word li'olam, does li'olam really mean forever and ever and ever? Maybe li'olam just means for a really, really long time. So Rav Nassim Gestetner says, as far as I'm concerned, 3 years is a really, really long time, and that would be enough for it to be an Isser da'oraisa. Rav Shechter Shlita also thought that 3 years would be definitely long enough for it to be considered an Isser da'oraisa. So anytime you're putting in some type of tattoo that's going to last between 1 and 3 years, we are in Isser da'oraisa territory. A second possible lenient consideration that will not work out for us is a ritva. The ritva is how deep the ink has to go. The ritva writes that the ink has to go between the skin and the flesh. And the Tshuva Shraga Meir says that implies that even just under a single layer of skin is going to be a problem. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch and Yardeh Sim Kuf Pei, it describes Ksovas Kaka Hainu Shesoret Al Basaro, you scratch on your skin, Umimale Makom Asrita B'chol Ubedio Shar Tzivon Maroshmim, and then you fill in with some sort of color. Min Chaschinuch Mitzvah Reishon Gimel Os Aleph says that we paskin like the Achronim hold that even marking without cutting the skin is an Issa D'Rabbanan. So certainly for the Issa D'Araisa, once you cut the skin and once you're beneath the skin level, it's going to be in the territory of a discussion of an Issa D'Araisa. If you don't cut the skin at all, it could still be an Issa D'Rabbanan if it's permanent. But if you get like your hand stamped at an amusement park or something like that, so it's more permanent than we would probably like it to be, because it's tough to get off if you went to the amusement park close to Shabbos or something. You don't want to come to shul with that thing still on your hand. But it's not really permanent. So that would not be an Issa, since it's above the skin level and it's not permanent. Another tzad that one might want to suggest that is not going to work out for us is that the Mishnah tells us that there's a chi of Malkus only if you are both sorry and tzaveya, that you have to cut the skin and insert the dye. So when they do cosmetic tattooing, the first the cut is made and then the dye is inserted. However, the Rivan describes the process of ksuvas kaka as writing, putting all the dye there, and then making a tear in the skin where the dye is then going to fall in to the skin. So the Rambam, when he describes it, he describes ksuvas kaka in the normal way, that you tear open the skin and then you insert the dye. So does this make a difference? Is only only one way of being mesader, it's going to be in violation of the Issa Daraisa. So the Bach in Yardei Simon Kofpei says that no, there's no real machlokas. Either way is going to work. It's just that the Rivan is just translating the term ksoves kaka. So ksoves means the ink, kaka means the scraping, the scratching, whereas the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch go through how it's normally done, where first you make the cut and then you insert the ink. So far we have zero tzadim lakula, right? The permanence, it's permanent enough to be in the Sadaraisa. The depth, as long as it's under a layer of skin, it's deep enough to be in the Sadaraisa. The order doesn't really make a difference, so it's going to be in the Sadaraisa on that level as well. Now let's go through some kulas that might actually be tzadim lahakel. In the Tshuvas Mi'il Tzedakah, the Pisrei Tshuva quotes in Yardei Asim Kofpei, the Mi'il Tzedakah in Sim Lamed Aleph has a suffix about Ksuvas Kaka Le'inyon Chi of Malkus, Ibi'inan Sheba Osios Ashareim Muskamim Inema de Mechayv Besrita Bialma O Ezer Roshim Sheye Ulusov Hela de Binon Ksav Osios Mamish. He has a suffix whether a marking without lettering is going to be an Issa Daraisa, and he comes to the conclusion that if you make a mark without a letter, now you're in Issa Darabanan territory, that it's only going to be an Issa Darabanan. In Minchas Chinuch and Mitzvah Reshnon Gimel Os Gimel, he says that the majority of Rishonim believe that even if you don't write letters, it's going to be an Isser Da'oraisa, but the Pesachei Tshuva quotes this Mi'il Tzedakah that says otherwise. Rav Nassim Gestetner in his Tshuva suggests that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch seem to say that you violate Ksuvas Kaka even without letters, because they describe explicitly just putting ink or a Roshem or some sort of mark in there. However, Rav Nevensal Shlita argues that even those who are Machmir with non-letters at least would require a picture, that it's only called Ksuvas Kaka if it's either letters or a picture. But if it's a marking, you know, if it's like a heart or I don't know what people have pictures of, tattoo, whatever it is, a picture of their mother from Mother's Day, whatever it is that they're putting in their tattoo, if it's a picture or letters, then it's called ksiva. But just like in Hilcha Shabbos, you have such a din that if you color something, if you dye something a different color, that's not called ksiva, that's called soveya. But if you draw a picture or you write letters, then that's called ksiva. So when it comes to the Isser of Ksuvas Kaka, it's only going to be an Isser if it's ksiva, says Rav Nevensal. And therefore, only if it's letters or a picture. If it's neither letters nor a picture, that's not ksiva. Mela, it's only going to be an Isser Dirabanan to make a marking without lettering. And Rav Nevensal actually is makil on these cosmetics based on the idea that he thinks that if it's really not permanent, I don't know how he defines lack of permanence, and this idea that there's no actual writing that's involved. Another possible tzad v'hakel is that there's a machlokas tanaim whether the Isser D'Oraisa is only if you write a Shem Avodah Zarah. Beis Yosef Paskins, like the Shita of the Rabbanan, that it's also D'Oraisa even if you don't write a Shem Avodah Zarah. But even if you don't need it to be Shema Avodah Zarah, even if you don't need it to be that you're writing, tattooing the name of an idol, it could be that you, in order to be Chayiv, you need to have Kavana Avodah Zarah. Meaning, even if you're making some other mark, it could be that it's only going to be an Issa D'Oraisa if you're doing it with Kavana Avodah Zarah. Shulchan Aruch and Siv Dalid in Siman Kof Pei writes that if someone is Roshem Al Avdo Shalo Yivrach, you make a tattoo on your Evet so that your Evet doesn't run away, then you're going to be Putter. And the Ramah says, near the yeah, but l'chadchila you shouldn't do it, which implies that it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan when there's no idolatrous intention. So that's another reason why this might be an Issa D'Rabbanan. So again, so far the strongest tzad that we have to make it not an Issa D'Oraisa is the fact that there are no letters. So that very likely makes it not an Issa D'Oraisa. Even if you want to say that without letters maybe it's still an Issa D'Oraisa, then at least you have some poskim that say that if it's not done l'shem avodah zarah, then it's not going to be an Issa D'Oraisa. So then the question becomes, okay, if it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, it's still Aser, is that going to make it that this woman is allowed to tattoo? So the issue becomes one of Kavod HaBrios. The Gemara Maseches Brachos and Daf Yutes tells us that Kavod HaBrios docha lo saseh shebetorah. Then the Gemara qualifies, not really lo saseh shebetorah, but Kavod HaBrios is docha isurim D'Rabbanan. So if it rises to the level of Kavod HaBrios, then you would be allowed to get the tattoo. The question is, who gets to decide whether this qualifies as Kavod HaBrios or not? It's a difficult thing to know, meaning especially when there are other options. She could take one of those makeup markers and fill it in. It won't look as good, but there are other options. exceptions. So do we determine this as Kavod Abrios? So I had the good fortune last week. I was at a chasna and I was at the chup, and Rabbi Sablovsky was sitting right next to me. So Rabbi Sablovsky pulled out his sefer from his pocket, and right, I chopped him right before he opened the sefer. I said, wait, before you open the sefer, let me ask you, what do you think about this shaila? So he said, I told him that Rav Shechter once told me that a mark without letters we paskin is nisid rabbanon, but I had not yet had an opportunity to ask Rav Shechter this shaila. He said if he's going to say it's nisid rabbanon, I would say to be mekel, because he said when it comes to shiduchim, he quoted a Yerushalmi that Rav Willig Shlita likes to quote, that shiduchim is not quite pikuach nefesh, but it's close to it. That you should treat it like it's ki'ilu, it's pikuach nefesh. You have to treat shiduchim very, very seriously, and therefore he'd be. Rabbi Sablovsky, if you know him, doesn't like to make like these absolute for sure statements. Yeah. But I said we could be Mekel. Yeah. So he was mitzadid to be Mekel. So then I had the opportunity to ask Rav Shechter on Friday when I saw him, and I wonder if Rabbi Sablovsky changed his mind because Rav Shechter was not Mekel. I asked Rav Shechter, and Rav Shechter said that years ago he had one of his children got married in Eretz Yisrael. His daughter went to Israel for the year and never came back. And he said that Dr. Steinberg was at one of the Sheva Brachos, and he said, and Dr. Steinberg told him that Rav Eliashiv holds that if a woman, lo aleinu, had breast cancer and has to have reconstructive surgery, that they're allowed a tattoo on her to make it look right. And Rav Eliashiv thought that that's only Nisra Drabanan of the tattoo, because it's only a mark and not letters. And she's a Cholashem Basakana because she's so distressed that she feels she lost such an essential part of her femininity, so that's enough reason to be mekel based on chola shem bal sakana. But if it's someone who's not a chola at all, he's not sure that we would be mekel when there are other options in terms of the eyebrows. Rav Shechter was not willing to be mekel. He did point out that the Yad Malachi has a shaila whether we're only matir the cases of kavod abrios that the Gemara says, or matir dinim drabanan for all kavod abrios issues. But he said no, we do normally paskin that we're matir for all kavod abrios issues. We're matir dinim drabanan, not only the cases of kavod abrios that are identified in the Gemara. And that's what Rav Shechter said, halacha lemaisa. He said, if you're ever at a bar mitzvah, and his lashon was, and the bar mitzvah boy is slaughtering the parsha, then you do not have to correct him. It's not going to help. Aleph and Beis, it's an Indian of Kavod Abrios, so you're going to correct him every 2 seconds as he continues to butcher the entire parsha. So the Kavod Abrios would be doche the whole din midrabanan. But he thought that in this case it doesn't rise to the level of Kavod Abrios, so the Rabbi Sablovsky was willing to be mekel in the interest of shiduchim. Okay, thank you very, very much, everyone, for coming. Have a wonderful day.
Baruch, Rabbi.
Baruch tia.
Rabbi, in case